stood nearly at your feet, a warrior to suffer at your feet. The China will deny our dead instead.
Welcome home to Hope on the Beach Church. Not quite today, but normally. So it's good to see you. Want you to know it's a no judgment zone, and that means we want you to worship freely. You can stand, sit, raise a hand, clap hands. You just let God's love bless you today. So we're so glad to have you here. You're a blessing to us. And so I want to call your attention to the connection card. We'd love for you to fill out the front side of this with your personal information. We want to connect with you, and we don't always get to do that personally, so we can do it through this card. We'd love to know that you've been here and perhaps where you came from and how you heard about Hope. So just, if you would, take a minute, fill that out. We'll collect these at the end of the service. So we are glad that you are here with us today. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll then worship together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing, your goodness, and certainly for your presence today. As you are here with us, we just pray that you will inhabit the praise of your people and bless us with your word this morning as you speak to our hearts. Thank you for counting us worthy of your presence. And thank you for being here with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship the Prince of Peace who gives us perfect shalom.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. I'm not held by my own strength.
A new song today. It's called Peace. And what better way to celebrate our Prince of Peace in this season than to sing about it? In a world full of chaos and uncertainty, you know that we got one thing for certain up there, right? When we turn our eyes to Him. So I'm going to sing the chorus first, and then we'll catch on real quick, I bet.
Invite the children to come forward, and they're going to bless us with some songs today. Good morning. My name is Jason. I'm honored and privileged to be the senior pastor of Hope on the Beach Church and delighted to bring the word to you today. You want to open up your outline, you can follow along and as we go through the word together. At Thanksgiving, we had the opportunity to gather with our side of family. So that is 8 adults, 6 grandkids from real little on up to 9. And we had our parents with us who, my parents who are in like 86 and 80. Three, I think now. So, and in that gathering time in one house, you're starting to get the picture. It was a little chaos. And then someone in our family, I'm not naming names, but I know you can figure it out, decided we should have a family photo. Oh, mercy! That's like hoarding cats. I don't know who's worse, the kids or my parents. There ain't nobody looking at the camera at the same time. I'm like, Jesus, just come back. This is awful, right? And I mean, the good thing is the digital. I mean, you just got thousands of pictures. The bad thing is you got thousands of pictures. And I'm just like, this is good enough. Just go with this, right? And so now we got some family photos. And then I was on Facebook, and I saw some of my friends and their family photos. And I was just like, how did you do that? There's no way. And maybe you have some of that in your life. And so number one, your notes, maybe you've had this observation sometimes in your life, but why do you see peace everywhere but don't feel peace in your own heart sometime, right? I mean, this is a holiday of peace. It seems like everybody else has peace and you don't. And we struggle with it. Jesus said to his disciples when they were struggling, he says, hey, remember in John 14:27, he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For some of you, you need to hear this today, of this promise of Jesus' peace that he gives. Perhaps you're a little afraid. Perhaps you're anxious. And in that, Jesus says, I give you my peace. I mean, in fact, if you feel that way, I just want to let you know, you're normal. And you're probably like the majority of the population, especially the younger generation. And there's that great study I told you about, the guy who wrote the book. The younger generation is called the most anxious generation. They are full with greater anxiety when we have a world that's supposed to be able to give us greater peace. And yet, with all the advancements we have more anxiety upon anxiety. And so when our hearts are filled with anxiety, they're not at rest. They're not at peace. And it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out why. I mean, just open up your phone. Just look at the news. Just see all the current events that are going on that are constantly bombarding us every single day. We are constantly bombarded with wars, rumor of wars, this crisis, that crisis, inflation. What's the economy going to do? What prices, interest rates, housing, all these different things. And if it's not, we're worried and anxious about it for ourselves. We are anxious for our family or our grandkids who are at different levels in different places, all going through different struggles. And that isn't enough. I know that several people in our family of hope here are going through some very difficult situations right now that are pretty bad. And Jesus says, peace. But yet we're going dealing with all this, and then on top of that, we're looking at a holiday. We're going to get together with our crazy family again. And so right in the middle of it, and Jesus says, I give you peace. And I know that Jesus gives you peace. But sometimes I kind of think like, hey, little God, this is crazy. It's kind of chaos right now. I know you said you give you peace, but maybe you forgot me, you know? Or maybe is this like, God, you gave me peace, but I set it down. I have no idea what I did with it. I'm getting to that age, all right? And often when we keep bombarded with stuff and we keep battling and struggling, it kind of really raises the question, are we truly able to have peace in 2025? Was this peace that Jesus was given? Yeah, it was peace, but it was peace when his life was simpler, not as complicated and difficult as it is now when it was in a little town of old Bethlehem, sure, but not in my town. Does it work? Does his peace truly work today in 2025? And that's why I titled today's message is Peace in an Anxious Mind. And so I want to invite us, let us pray together. And so, Father, we pray that your living word that never returns void would do a healing work, renew in our hearts and minds. God, we are especially anxious and overwhelmed and worried. We're especially in these times where things are just kind of multiplied because of the busyness, even good things. Just create a busyness and an anxiousness and a worrisome as we gather. And so, Lord, we ask today that your Holy Spirit would draw us close, that we experience your supernatural peace that goes beyond all human ability and understanding, that it would truly give us rest in our minds and hearts and lives, that we would be people of peace to this world of chaos. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. So we're in this series we're calling The Arrival, which is a series of just what we're going over, the season of Advent. And for those that are new, the season of Advent is a dedicated time, a season for intentional spiritual growth, spiritual preparation for the coming of Jesus that the church has practiced for a long, 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 long time, centuries upon centuries, saying we were waiting for centuries and centuries. And so Jesus has come. And we want to not lose that discipline, that longing for Jesus to come and be amongst us, this Emmanuel, this God who comes and saves. And so we are intentionally preparing our hearts. We're repenting in scripture, in prayer, in fasting, in this season of spiritual growth. Not for now that Jesus has come, but that he is coming and we're celebrating that, but also that he is going to be coming again. And so the church set this season of Advent this four-week season in preparation for that, and why we have this thing like an Advent wreath here, because like last week we talked about love, this week is peace, next week we go to joy, so we go to a different color of joy, and then we come to love, and then the white candle is the Christ candle that represents Christ, that he's here, that we will light on Christmas Eve. And so this is just marking the time as we wait, as we prepare, week after week, growing. And we're reminded that Jesus came, and last week we talked about this hope that they were waiting for Jesus to come. And Jesus came when? When did Jesus come? Anybody remember last week? Awesome. Watch it again. Jesus came just at the right time. Just at the right time. Galatians tells us he came in just the exact moment, the great moment. We gave you all those reasons. Just in the right time, he came. And when he came, the angels proclaimed in Luke 2:14, you know, it's what the angels proclaim. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest heaven. It's a time of praise. It's a time of worship. Glory to God. God, you're worth all the glory, all the praise to God. For Jesus has come. Jesus has come and he's brought what? Peace on earth. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus has been described as peace in Scripture. We can go back into the Old Testament. Over 700 years before Jesus came, Isaiah gave a messianic promise, in other words, a prophecy of what the Messiah would be when he comes, that he'd be a God of peace. So Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. So what does that mean? Jesus doesn't just come to bring peace. He actually is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is peace. And he comes to the earth with peace. Literally, as God's Son on the earth, he is the Prince of Peace. He is peace. In fact, if we look at the Hebrew, there's two words there for Prince of Peace. It's Shar Shalom, Prince of Peace, number two in your notes. Shar Shalom, Prince of Peace. If we break that out, Tsar means the one in charge. Like sergeant, maybe. One in charge, the Lord, the chief, the general. B, shalom, which we kind of represent as a Hebrew greeting, means rest, tranquility, wholeness, the fullness of peace. So who is Jesus? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Shar Shalom. He is the Lord. He is the general, the chief of peace. So what does that mean for you and I? What kind of peace does Jesus bring to earth? What is this peace that he is the Prince of? Number three, the Prince of Peace gives us a peace with God. A peace with God. Peace on earth starts with a peace with God. And this is really important. Remember, around Christmas time, more than ever, we emphasize one of these major doctrinal biblical truths in the Christmas story that is huge, and it's very significant to your peace, for us to have peace with God. And we say that Jesus was born not just in a manger, but he was born by the what? Born in the Virgin Mary, right? And he was conceived by the... All right, those are significant. Born of the Virgin Mary. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. These are significant and tied with your peace with God. Because if Jesus was not conceived by the Holy Spirit, he was not born of the Virgin Mary, and he was conceived by our earthly father, there'd be a problem. And the problem is that that earthly father is inherited sin, and he has sinned. The Bible says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Joseph was sin, and he inherited sin from Adam and Eve. And if he would have been conceived from Joseph, therefore Jesus would have been born with sin. He would have been born with the selfish disposition of sin that you and I have. Right? That's what sin is. My way. No one has to teach a baby how to say mine. Mine. They all know it. They all grow it. That's the selfish sin that we're born with. So Jesus is born of a virgin is critical, not an earthly father. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, because then he is the one who is bringing peace and taking on flesh. He is still holy and divine, but yet taking on our fleshy existence where the Spirit dwells. And that's why Jesus can be that perfect sacrifice for us, because he wasn't born of sin, and he did no sin. In fact, Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says this. He says, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin. So when Jesus was on the cross, as John said, right, this is the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. This is the sacrifice that pays for all the sins. And why is it able to pay for all the sins? Because it's God's Lamb. It's the one who brings peace, the one who has been perfect. But yet when it was nailed to the cross, it was no longer perfect. It was that was perfect, was now put sin upon it, put the punishment of all that sin upon him. Why? So that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. We would be made peace with God. The righteousness, the perfectness of Jesus would be upon us. That we'd be put in a right relationship. So I think a lot of our anxiety, a lot of our worry, sometimes comes that even though maybe some of us don't believe this mentally, we tend to live in a reality where we're not always certain where our relationship with God is. We're not always feeling secure and certain of how our relationship, if I was to die, am I really good enough? Is things really forgiven? Has my past and sins truly been washed away that this holy God is going to accept me and delights in me? So I think some of our anxiety is that we're not really sure that we have peace with God. And so I want to remind us what Scripture says. Scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die for us. Whoever believes in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. Notice it said whoever. It didn't say those who were good, those who were good enough, those of a certain bloodline. It's whoever. It didn't say those that just sinned a little bit. No, it's whoever. It's from those who have been the worst of worst into the best of best. And whoever believes. The thing is believing. How do we believe what we receive? We believe what we've been given. We believe what we've been told, what Jesus has done for us. We say yes to what's been given, and then we believe it. And why did his Son come? What did he send his Son to do? Not to condemn us, but what? To save us. To save us from our sins, which we could not do on our own. And the Bible says very clearly, if we confess our sins to God our Father, he is faithful, he is just to forgive. He's just because Jesus paid the penalty. He says, now I forgive you, I give you peace. And I cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I clean you, I cleanse you from your head to your toe. You're washed, the sins are washed away. That's why Paul says, if anyone, in Romans 8, what? If anyone is in Christ, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Now, in your world, it's not gone, but in God's world, it's gone. Because he sees the new creation. He sees the Spirit in you. He sees the Christ in you. And therefore, God will not hold your sins against you. And you can have peace with God. Always. We don't worry. We don't live in anxiety. Am I good enough? Am I forgiven? Did I confess that? Did I do enough good to pay for that? Oh. We don't worry. We have peace. Because the one who's able to make peace has made peace with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the joy of the shepherds. This is the joy that they go and share with everyone, that there's a peace in them that comes from above, that came to earth, that came to them in the midst of their dirty, in the midst of their ordinary life, in the midst of their sin, and gave them a new life and gave them peace with a living God that was beyond anything they could ever do. This is the wonderful grace. This is the wonderful thing we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, came with us, Emmanuel. So he gives us peace with God. And not just that, he gives us the peace of God. Be peace of God. Now, when Jesus promised you his peace, it's kind of conditional. It's kind of like this. When you get the peace of God. Maybe you've done this with your kids. You can open up some gifts on Christmas Eve if you're good. If not, you'll wait for Christmas. And if you're not good, they get returned. Why? Because you're in charge. And you can give the gifts and you can take the gifts. You rule. Kind of conditional. And so Isaiah really lays this out in Isaiah 26, this kind of why peace in our ordinary life is conditional. In Isaiah 26:3, he says this, it's our memory verse, just read out loud. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You will keep in perfect peace all. Means anybody can have perfect peace. Do whatever you want to do, however you want to do life, and you'll have perfect peace. No. All who what? Trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. What does that mean? That means that, man, it translates this word of shalom. This perfect peace is there. This is a beautiful thing. This perfect peace, this shalom, shalom, he's saying. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Now, whenever the scripture does this, it doubles up on the word. This is a B in your notes. It's Hebraic doubling. It's a linguistic technique in Hebrew Bible, which is a word is repeating to convey an intensified meaning. Like this perfect, perfect peace. I mean, shalom, shalom. And so C, shalom, shalom, what does that mean? It is a perfect and unbroken, broken, unbroken peace. Your complete well-being, both inward and outward. Fully complete. Shalom, shalom does not mean two scoops. It's not double portions. It's more than that. It's perfect peace. Now, if you have this peace, this perfect peace, shalom, shalom, does it mean you're going to have any problems? Like all your problems are stopped. If you truly have, this is what church is, if you truly have the peace of God, that perfect peace, you'll have no problems in your life. Guarantee. That's a weight. No. This is not what it's promising. In fact, you know how you know if you got peace usually? It's the fact you have problems. When you have problems and they don't bring trouble in your heart. That's how you know you're living in the peace. So here's the thing. We get this messed up. Number four, peace isn't found in the absence of problems. So much of our world and so much of our energy is focused on trying to get rid of problems so we can have peace. You're on a wheel, a little hamster wheel you'll never get off. Because in this world, you will have what? Problems. They ain't going away. And so just because you have perfect peace doesn't mean that, man, everything's going to go, nothing's going to break in your life. Just because you have perfect peace doesn't mean that, man, your kids are not going to get on your nerve. Just because you have perfect peace doesn't mean that you and your spouse aren't going to fight. No. It means more than this. See, when you discover perfect peace, how do you discover that you're going to have perfect peace? It's not by solving your problems. It's number five. It's about peace is found in the presence of God. Peace is found in the presence of God. That's where perfect peace is. That's why New Testament, Paul says that you can have a peace that passes all understanding. That goes beyond our human understanding, right? Because this is a gift that's only found in the presence of God, not in our understanding. It says, man, I got to have life perfect and right and have all the money and all this and all that, and I get all this situated and I'm healthy. I'll have perfect peace. No, you'll never get there. See, there's some of you who've walked into faith long enough. You understand this really well. And you have what I would call this perfect peace in the midst of a storm. Like when Jesus is sleeping in a storm, you got that in your heart. Because your marriage could be in a struggling season. It could be difficult. And yet, you know, you're relying on God. You're praying and you're just trusting in Him. And even though it's hard and it's difficult, you just have this peace in you. You have inner strength. You have inner quietness. You're not running around crying to everybody. You trust God's going to work it out. Or maybe you have a child or grandchild who's walked away from the Lord in the church, and it breaks your heart. And I know that's anxious. You want your see your family know Jesus, and you want them to be on that path, but they're all pushing against it. And you're praying, and you're trusting God, and you know that God loves them more than you do, that God gave His Son, and God is pursuing them. And you're just praying in peace. Or you're like Bob and Michelle, going through the cancer battle and season. And they have gone through this thing with great peace, amazing peace, when others would be not so. Or maybe you're in a difficult place where, like, you're paying bills and you're like, man, all the uncertainty going on in this world, and you get nervous about it, but you want to be faithful, and when you're giving, you're tithing. And you can sit there and go, I can be faithful, I give it time. I'm just going to trust God's word. It says, you know what? He's going to, every one of our needs, according to His riches in Christ Jesus, He's going to take care of, and I'm going to have peace in that. And so despite what's going on in the world where people start to pull back, you're like, no, I can trust. Have you experienced that peace? Again, look at the verse Isaiah. God will keep you in perfect peace. All whose thoughts are what? Fixed on Him. A, fixed, shamak, is to lean on completely, to fully rest oneself. Lean on completely, fully rest. Isaiah's painting a picture here. You see it? Perfect peace is all whose thoughts are leaning in on God, leaning on His truth, not on our feelings, not just on our experiences, but on His truth. Let me play a little game here, a little interactive. Which way, let me ask you this question, which way do people fall? If people are going to fall, which way do they fall? Forward? Sometimes. Which way you fall? You're good. You can fall backwards too. Down, you're good. The other class said up, so you're doing great. And we do go down. True, you're getting close. This has been studied by tons of scientists. This is the way you fall. This is where you fall every time. You fall every time 100% in the direction you're leaning. You fall in the direction you are leaning. So the question is, which way are you leaning? Are you leaning on God's truth? Are you leaning on your own ability, wisdom, and understanding? Where are you leaning? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God, and He will make straight your paths. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own logic, your wisdom, or I should say today, AI, to get things done. You lean on God. You lean on God's goodness. You lean on His good things. That word knowledge is yada. It means to know. It's not just a knowledge no. It's a faith no. It's a relational no. It's I know I can trust in God. I know I under His word. I know His goodness. I know His mercy and grace. I can lean on it. I can trust in it. Even though my world says I should take control of it, I should go out and do this and make it happen, I don't. I lean not on myself, but on God. See, here's the unique thing about having peace. Number 6 is this. It's a paradox. The peace of God is found in surrender, not control. The peace of God is found in when we surrender to Him and don't try to control it. So, A, think about it. Almost every time where you're afraid, where you're anxious, you're feeling overwhelmed, why are you doing it? Why is that happening? Why is it when you're up at 2 a.m. and you're sitting there, you can't sleep because your brain is racing, trying to figure out how to manipulate it, how to make this happen or that happen or this way, and try to solve it to get what you want, how you can manipulate the situation to get what you want? What's going on? You're leaning on you. What's happening? Two things. You're overestimating your control. Number one, you're overestimating your ability to control the situation. And number two, you're underestimating the goodness of God. When you are leaning in on yourself, your understanding, your wisdom, you're saying God doesn't care, God's not powerful enough, God's not good enough, He's not mercy enough, He doesn't want to get involved in this, and He doesn't care about what's going on to lean into it. So you take it. So B, here's the question. Are you trying to control something that's not yours to control? Are you trying to control something that's not yours to control? So take a moment here. Let's not just run through this. Reflect in your life. What is it that's got you anxious and given you fear? Is it something that's not yours to control? Man, I get anxious about stuff at the church, yeah. We're looking for land. We've been looking for land for where we're going to move. And that's a pretty anxious thing. We can't even find land yet. And I'm going, it's not that big of an area. How hard is this? And I kind of want to just like, hey, I know people, or I'm just going to start looking on the internet, whatever. And just take control. And I can tell you, the more I control, the more I research, it doesn't give me less peace. It actually creates more stress. So if you're going to have peace, you got to surrender your control. So close your eyes for a moment and just ask God, God, let's have a time. God, what am I trying to control that's not mine? Show me. Show me what I need to surrender to You. And Lord, teach me. Teach me to trust. Teach me to lean on You and not my understanding. Keep me from trying to manipulate things my way. Remind me of Your goodness and mercy each day, that I might let go and just lean on You. Maybe for you it's a relationship, a person. Maybe it's a financial situation, a health situation, a kid, grandkid, your spouse. Just making sure you're listening, because you can't change them.
Only God can. Surrender, not control. And hear the God. For those who fix on God, all fix on God, have their perfect peace. For those who fix their thoughts on God. Help it to be for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, God is a God of perfect peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And as the Prince of Peace, what do we know? That Jesus can give us peace, right? For comfort. And he gives us peace in our times when we need comfort and when we're going through hard times. But here's what we also know. He can withdraw it to refine us. He can withdraw his peace so he can refine us. And what does that mean? Is that there are times when we're about to do dumb things and Jesus takes his peace away. And some of those dumb things, maybe we should say, that peace is removed because we're going to sin. There's obvious things, right? There's obvious things we do that destroy that peace in us. Because we're just going to rebellion for sin. God, I know you say this, I'm going my way, and you're going to pay. But there are other things that are even good things. Like, there are times when you're wrestling, like, God, I want to be a good steward of your money, but we need this, we need a car, we need this for a house, whatever, and we're trying to wrestle through how I'm going to purchase this or not. And I know I've been in situations where I'm ready to buy something, and I'm getting really close, and I want to make that decision, and yet I don't have peace with it. It's not like buying us is truly out of God's will, but there's things I think that God just like, he removes our peace to kind of maybe pull us back because we're sitting there going, that's what I really want, and maybe that's not what I really need. I might need something like this, but I don't need it all. And he's like, look, if you're getting tied up into this buying this high-tech refrigerator, the TV on it, at 28% interest rate, it's going to bury you later on. So I'm going to stop and give you peace, not give you peace. You know, sometimes there's in relationships, you know, everybody else sees it, but you can't see it. Like, you're really fixed on this person, you really like this person, and you want to have a relationship with this person and grow and be together. Everybody's like, you two are not good together. This person's not good for you. And everybody's seeing it, but you're not seeing it. And finally, you get closer and closer. You're like, man, I just don't have peace in this decision. And you wonder why, because this person isn't for you. So God removes his peace. Or perhaps it's with a job. Maybe there's a job with more money. And you go, oh, well, there's more money. It's got to be the right thing, right? God's blessed me, more money. And then it's like your dream job. I mean, you've been dreaming about having this position. You've been dreaming about making this much money. And then you get to that place where you get to that job, and you go, I just don't feel peace about taking this job. Why? And maybe you can't quite see it. But, I mean, if you take this job, what it's going to do to your family, what it's going to do to you? And it's how it's going to tear you and consume you, maybe pull you away from your serving in your church or being at your church and have to move from your church and move away from your family or other things that you're just not aware of. God sees the future, and he sometimes pulls our peace, so he pulls us back to him, that we put our eyes back on him instead of like, hey, God, is this really what you want from me? Is this really the right thing? He refines us. See, Jesus gives us peace not to comfort us. Yeah. But also to refine us. Because he's the Lord of peace. He's the Prince of peace. And he rules over it. And he will take it away to get your attention, to try to slow you down, to help try to refine you and curb your appetite, that you don't put yourself in places that are harmful for you. Again, God is peace. And he promises peace in Jesus. He brought this peace on earth to have peace with him and to have his peace. The challenge is for us as consumer Christians in a consumer world, which I believe is the number one sin of America, is that we often are led into false peace. temporary fixes of our culture that keeps bombarding us and saying, here's where peace is at. Have this vacation. Here's where peace is. Have this house. Here's where peace is. Get this car. Yeah, it may be for a week, but then there's problems. And so we're always getting these short fixes of entertainment, of food, and little promises to say, man, this will help you. But all those things are shortfalls in satisfying the need that's deep in our soul. They're counterfeits. And we're trading holy shalom for worldly peace. And we wonder why our hearts are still fractured and not at rest. Why our minds are still racing and not at peace. Because we've bought into false comfort and not true comfort. Not divine peace. Paul, a prisoner of the Lord in prison near the end of his ministry and near death, writes this to the people then, which is applicable to us today, by the power of the Holy Spirit in Philippians 4. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you present it to God, when you present your request, what are you doing? When you present your request in prayer and petitions with thanksgiving to God, what are you doing? You're leaning in. We're leaning in. That's what God says, pray, lean into me. Bible says, cast your burdens on me, lean into me. Test me, lean into me. Let me show you my goodness. Let me show you how I care for you, how I watch over you, why I give you peace, why I pull peace, because I care about every little part of your life. And I'm a good father who wants to give the best to his kids. I didn't hold anything back with my son. I'm not going to hold anything back of giving you heavenly blessings when you lean into me. He gives you a living, active peace to guard you from the falsehoods. Guard you from the attacks, to guard you from the chaos that is around you. That you may be in this peace and confidence with him and walk with him. And have a strength that's beyond you. This chiropractor in our area, Dr. T, he's got certified to do chiropractic for animals. And he does all sorts of animals, which is, to watch the videos and what he does with animals is just crazy. And so I had my, he was doing dogs, and I had my Kate got aligned by him. And, you know, when the dog's out of alignment, you know, that's pain, that's anxiety. It kind of creates some fear in them because they don't know how to act, just like you do when they got some physical ailment that's going on that's bothering them. And so when he puts the dog into alignment, which is like that, the dog's natural response to being back in alignment is to shake. It just shakes. And I thought, what a beautiful picture. When we're back in alignment, we're with peace with God, what do? We really should do a spiritual shake, which we just shake off all those things that are worrying because we don't have to control them. We don't have to hold them. God's got them. So some of you need to do a shake. If you want to stand and shake right now, I give you permission. Look, everybody looks around. Who's going to do it? I don't know. Yeah, there you go. Praise God for that, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do. We can shake. We can stand. And because God, we gotta shake this stuff off that's clinging to us that we think we got to hold on to and give it to you. Because truly, you are the one who is good and knows how to give good. And God, if it's your will, we can't stop it from happening. If it's not your will, we can't make it happen. So we just trust in your goodness in each day. And so, Lord, that's why we pray the prayer you taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What a great word. to just be reminded we're surrounded in peace. We live in peace. We walk in peace. And God's peace, not something we can generate, but His. That's a great promise and a great message this morning. We're going to continue worship by receiving our morning offering. We're going to invite you in just a moment to bring your offering envelope, which is in your bulletin. You can place your offering in it. There are also instructions on how to give online if you would like to do that. And so we're going to give you a moment, and then you can bring your envelope to these plates here at the front. Also, you will find in your bulletin a poinsettia donation form. We always decorate with poinsettias around the building, and we give you an opportunity to purchase one in honor or memory of someone. And so this form is for you to do that. We ask for a $15 donation for those, and then at the end of the month, you'll be able to take yours home. So if you'd like to take part in that, this is the form you would use for that. And then I want to call you back to your connection card and remind you that on the back side is where you can communicate with us. You may have prayer requests. You may want to share a commitment you've made today. You can do that on the back of your card. You can also offer to volunteer. We need lots and lots. Did I say lots? Lots of volunteers for Christmas Eve. We have services throughout the day, and we need folks to help us set up, decorate, usher. We have lots of needs. So if you're available Christmas Eve, you can see how to sign up right there on the back of your card. So in a moment, we're going to ask you to bring your envelope, your card, and your poinsettia form to the front and leave them here in the offering plate. Before that, I want to remind the ladies, Tuesday night, you have your Advent dinner, and we're asking you to bring a salad or dessert and come join the other women of hope as you celebrate Advent. And also next Sunday, we will have a voters meeting at 12:15. We're going to vote on our budget for the new year. So we invite you to come and join us, and we can answer your questions for you then. We're so glad you've been with us today. Let me pray for the blessing, and then we're going to ask you to come. Pray for the blessing? What did I just say? That would be the offering. Father, we thank you for the way you have gifted us, how you have continued to give to us. And Father, this is our opportunity to give back, to recognize you as the one who has blessed us. We have an opportunity to give back and say thank you. So we pray that the gifts we are bringing will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Thank you.
the angels announced, glory in the highest and peace on earth.